This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, we believe. Please help our unbelief. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Some months ago, I used an illustration from a movie that had just come out by the name of The Blind Side, that since that time has become a very popular movie that actually won some Academy Awards. And there is a scene in the beginning of that movie when there is this family, rather well-to-do, who lives in Memphis, and they are exposed to this young man, who is a huge, black young man who has a talent for playing football. And if you've seen the movie, you know that in the end, as today, he ends up being a professional football player for the Baltimore Ravens. His name is Michael Orr. But in this particular scene, it is the night before Thanksgiving, and it's a cold night, and they have to be coming back from a school event, and they see that he is walking the streets in the cold, just dressed in t-shirts and shorts. And the wife invites Michael to come and to spend the night sleeping on the couch in their living room. So she sets out the bed linens for him. They go upstairs to bed, and immediately when she gets upstairs, she has this conversation with her husband in bed that reveals the fear and the doubt that they have about this decision that they've made. And she says to him, "Do you think he's going to steal anything?" And it is clear in the morning that the two of them are even a little fearful of going downstairs and finding out what might have happened as he ransacked the place. What has happened? So finally she decides she'll go down, and she says to her husband, "If you hear a scream, call the insurance company." Well, she goes down, and much to her surprise, all of the bed linens have been neatly folded up into a perfect little pile on top of the couch, and Michael is nowhere to be seen. You can see in her face the transformation that is taking place. She is moving from doubt and fear to faith in this young man. And as a result of this experience, that faith continues to grow, not only of her faith in him, but his faith in her. And she pursues him out as he's walking out the driveway into the street and calls him back in to celebrate Thanksgiving with the family. And the rest is history. Go back 2,000 years. There are some disciples who come and find nothing in a tomb but some linens that have been neatly folded. And for them, too, it becomes a journey that takes them from doubt and fear to faith. It is the bed linens that were the funeral cloths of Jesus. This particular Sunday, Doubting Thomas Sunday, as many people call it, we get this particular gospel every year. Now, some Episcopalians say the church gives us every year because it's the week after Easter, and not a lot of people go to church on the week after Easter, so give it to them every year, so sooner or later they're going to hear it. Well, I think it's there for another more important reason, because it is a crucial learning for our spiritual walk about the positive value of doubt. Thomas gets a bad rap. Thomas is the one, if you remember the earlier story in John's Gospel, where Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem because he's going up to Jerusalem to die. And Thomas is the one who says, above all the other disciples, "Well, let's go up to Jerusalem and die with him." Thomas has this gift of blunt honesty about things that is a real charism. And when he has that experience in the gospel today, he is the one above all who says, "My Lord and my God." There isn't many other times in the scriptures where we see the disciples so bluntly declare that Jesus is God. Peter says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But that's about the only other time it happens. So there is this Thomas who is pretty amazing. But this movement from doubt to faith is an important one for us. We are concluding today this series of Max Lucado's Fearless book and video small group series. It was intentional that we wanted to end it on this particular Sunday, because this is the Sunday, above all, that sort of gives us the reminder to move forward about living fearless lives. And the important learning that we have is that doubt is a reality in our lives of faith. I remember talking some time ago here about back when I was in my Roman Catholic days, they wanted to do some study about priests in the United States. And so we all had to fill out this particular form they gave us, and it was statements, and you just had to check them true or false for you. And one of the statements was, "Sometimes in my life I have doubted the existence of God." And the priests were very honest. Most of them checked, "Yeah, there have been times when I have doubted God." Well, the press got a hold of the results of this thing, and the next Sunday in the newspaper, there were the headlines that horrified the whole Catholic nation. Priests doubt the existence of God. They missed the whole point. They missed the point that it wasn't about the doubt. It was about what you did with the doubt. I mean, you may remember Mother Teresa and the writings that were released, that she had, through her own saintly life, a lot of doubts that she went through. But it didn't become the occasion for her to live in a paralyzed fear. It became the occasion for her to recommit herself in a stronger way. See, sometimes we want to put doubt on the equal level with fear, and we equate the two. Doubt is a precursor. Doubt comes first, and we have to decide what we're going to do with that doubt. Are we going to then live in paralyzed fear as a result of that doubt? Or are we going to choose the faith route? This is a choice that we are called to make. And to live a fearless life, you have to start with the realization that doubts are real, that we will have them. Mary at the tomb doubted that this was Jesus until Jesus calls her by name. She goes to the disciples. They don't believe her. He has to appear to them as he does today. And they believe. Thomas wasn't there. He didn't believe. Jesus appears to them so he can believe. Doubt is a reality. You look at the end of Matthew's gospel. And in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus is giving that great, great commission and sending them out before he ascends to heaven, what does Matthew tell us? "And they worshipped him, and some doubted." It was a reality even in their experience of the risen Christ. So it should be no surprise to us that we are going to go through this on a constant basis. But it should become for us the opportunity to examine it in a bit of pressure. And just like that woman in the movie, move from fear into faith. Let the doubt be the occasion for renewing. One of the most practical examples of this that I think hits the metaphor pretty well is comparing doubt to a flu shot. You know, you get a flu shot and they put that dead virus into your veins, so you get some of it into your system. Why? Because when the really bad stuff comes along, you are immune to it. And you have built up your antibodies such that you can fight off the virus. Well, in a real way, this is what doubt can do for us. That it becomes this opportunity to reaffirm, and in a stronger way, we move on in our spiritual walk. The ultimate example of this, Jesus himself, he's dying on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus doubted. But it didn't become the occasion for him to abandon all hope. It becomes the occasion for him in his final hour to recommit himself and to finish the work that God has given him. So too for us. You know, this wonderful saying that our screens are somewhat hiding today, but I'm sure you have seen it, as Father William and Sherry Thomas beautifully took the stained glass window and extended that light out onto the back wall. And they had this saying that has been coming up week by week with a different phrase, and now completely says, "Fear not, for I am with you always." Maybe we need to look at that always in two ways. Always, all the time, but in all ways. That God will come to us in whatever way we need him. We are dealing, as a congregation, with great mourning over the loss of the son of one of our members in a very violent death. But perhaps the big picture that we need to look and conclude on is this. The first sermon I ever preached on Easter here, the theme was, in the end, love wins. If we truly believe that, if we truly believe that those neatly folded linens give evidence to a God who triumphs over all things, including death, then we can live fearless lives. Put it another way. When we are on this journey of moving from doubt into faith as opposed to fear, we have to choose how we're going to look at the Bible. Are we going to start the Bible with Genesis 1? Where God creates the world, and God created the world very good? Or are we going to skip that chapter and jump to chapter 2, where evil in the fall comes in? It's a choice we make. And yet it impacts the movement, whether to faith or to fear. It is a choice we all have all to make. We have a God who loves us so much that he wants us to have the ability to love God back. And to do that as a natural consequence, we all have choices to make. We can choose the good. We can choose the not so good. We can choose evil. It's not that God causes bad things. But he encourages us and gives us the ability to respond to him and live fearless lives. I am with you always. Look at how he does that for his disciples. Mary needs to hear his name, her name. He calls her by name. The disciples, locked up in fear, he comes to them. Thomas needs to touch. Jesus appears. Touch me wherever you need. Have faith. Some years ago, I used an illustration of the book of Revelation, and where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And you might remember that artist's depiction of that scene where Jesus is standing outside the door, ready to knock, but there is no handle on Jesus' side of the door. The only handle is on our side. The artist's point being, we have to let him in. Today we have evidence of a God who doesn't wait for us to let him in. Jesus comes through locked doors. Jesus has the ability and the desire to give us whatever it is we need. If only we are willing to take those doubts and let him transform them, not into paralyzing fear, but into faith. May it be so for us.